don't know about whipping you, but I do want to talk to you today about something that's been very important to me over the past few years, something that I've noticed. First of all, before I get into that, I want to thank the elders of the church that let us come and have this study together, and the ladies who did all the preparation today for the lunch and everything. Everything was great. But this is a subject that I'm 50 years old now, and I've been in the church ever since practically I was born. And I've noticed and observed that there's some problems in our congregations today in women not wanting to teach the Bible classes. And it's not just that the congregations where I've been, but in talking with other people and other preachers' wives and elders' wives, they say, yeah, it's a problem in their congregations as well. And so I kind of wondered if that is the case, if we're having trouble finding teachers to teach our little children at church, then what are you doing personally in your life as far as teaching? So I kind of feel like that maybe there's a problem there. And so I just kind of want to talk to you about it. The title of our lessons we've been talking about today is Building Bridges or Barriers. And overall, I see that, you know, women are slacking in their service to the younger women. And I know there are exceptions to that, and, you know, everybody here may be the exception to that. It's just that I have observed especially the last 10 years, that it's just harder and harder. It's like pulling teeth trying to get women to take on the role of teaching in the smaller children at class, at church. And the closer that we get in age to our heavenly reward should make us stop and think about the example that we have set and are setting to the younger women of the church. So the basis for my lesson today is in Titus chapter 2. So let's go there. Titus chapter 2. And I had verses 3 through 5, but as I was looking over it, going back over it a little bit this week, I kind of wanted to go back to verse 1 and start, because this book, Titus, is written by Paul to a young man named Titus, and he is telling Titus things that he needs to teach where he's going, wherever he's at. These are things he needs to speak. And in verse 2 it says, "But as for you," he's talking to Titus, "speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." And then he lists several groups of people there for Titus to give instructions to. The first verse 2 is to the older men and what to do. That doesn't involve us right now. But verse 3 does. "The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." And then we see in verse 6, and 7 and 8, there are instructions to the young men. I started thinking about that, and I personally haven't heard a lot of lessons on to the young men. I've heard lessons about the elders, what being a husband and a wife, and the men and the women, you know, but I've never really, I don't think, really heard any, and if you read these 6, 7, and 8, which, is, you know, we're not going to discuss today, but these, there's specific things to young men of our congregation that need to be taught as well. Okay, but let's focus on verses 3, 4, and 5, okay? And the first thing that we kind of need to do is establish authority, okay? This is going to kind of be the outline. You've got that in your booklets there. But the first thing that we kind of need to do is establish authority. So first of all, I want to ask you a question. I want some answers. Is Titus chapter 2, verses 3, 4, and 5, a command or a suggestion? It is a command, okay? Is it a sin not to teach if we have that talent? Is it a sin not to try? So, we read it again. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women. What does admonish mean?
Train, teach,
encourage, urge. That's another translation said to urge, to do something, to indicate duties or obligations to express warning or disapproval to, but in a gentle, earnest manner, and to give or to give friendly, earnest advice and encouragement to. Okay, so we are to admonish the young women to love their husbands. These are the things now listed that we are to teach them: to love their children, to be discreet and chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, so that the word of God be not blasphemed. Okay, so all of these questions that I have asked you have got to be answered before we can even move on with the lesson. We have to know whether or not we as older women are going to be held accountable for this in the day of judgment or not. If we are, then we need to be doing something about it. It's a simple command given to the older women, the same as attendance for worship, partaking the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, singing, all the other things. If it's a command, then we need to be doing it. So, does this apply to personal teaching? Does this apply to classroom teaching? I think it applies to both. So, why are we having a problem with it? As parents, most of us are or going to be, what is our responsibility to our children? Do we teach them just when they're little? Or do we continue to teach them through adulthood? If we don't teach our children, what are we considered? Negligent. Okay, so why should it be any less with our children here and the young women that we worship with every single day or every single week sometimes? Okay, over the years I've heard many excuses and barriers, if you want to call them that, over the years. Some that I've heard: I'm too nervous. I'm too old. I'm afraid they'll ask me questions that I don't know the answers to. The church in your area is not going to grow like that, ladies. It's not. So let's examine a few of these questions. I'm too nervous. Okay, most of us have had this experience in our lifetime. You had children in school that are going to be in a play or what have you, and are going to recite something at school. She tells you, "Oh, I'm too nervous," and she's crying, and you know she just don't think she can do this. So do you as the parent go to the teacher and say, "I want my daughter excused from this because she's too nervous"? Mm-mm. What do? You encourage. You tell her, you try to reassure her and help her through this because you know that this is best for her. Okay? She can't be excused every time she's a little nervous. The Lord knows what's best for us as well. And a little side note here. I do know that, and I'm sympathetic to older people because I am getting to be one of them. And I am on medications. And I know that people are on medications that make you nervous, that you feel nervous. And I understand that. And we're going to address that a little bit later in my lesson. Next one. I'm too old. Is there a retirement age for the Lord? No. That's it. No, I haven't found one in the scriptures. This is the prime time that you have to help the younger generations to take over when you're gone. So it's up to us to prepare them for that, to take over and to carry on after we're gone. The third the third excuse that I've heard is, I'm afraid they'll ask me questions. Well, then study. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. So if you're afraid they're going to ask you questions, then study. Especially in a classroom situation, when you have a specific lesson that you're going to be able to study ahead of time and know your lesson. But if somebody does ask you a question that you don't know an answer to, like say an older child, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, or teenage girls, whatever, just simply tell them you have to do a little study on that and you can get back with them. You're human. You know, not everybody can remember everything. Let's turn to James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And this was mentioned in the ladies' prayer before we went to lunch. That if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it'll be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Also in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15. And this is where Paul is telling Timothy, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So pray about what you're teaching, and pray for wisdom, and pray for those you are teaching. And I guarantee you, it will give you confidence. Okay, let's look at a few negative examples in the Bible. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 4. We're going to look at a negative example of someone who tried to get out of his duty. And that was Moses. When God called him to get the Israelites out of Egypt. In this passage, God is commanding Moses to get the people out of Egypt. And he comes up with two excuses as to why he can't do what God says. He says that they may not believe me, and I am not eloquent, and I'm slow of speech and tongue. Look at verse 14. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whoever else you may send. What happens in verse 14? So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know he can speak well, and look, he is also coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. When Moses finally just begs the Lord to send somebody else, what happened? The Lord got angry. When we try to make excuses for not doing what the Lord says to do, don't you think he gets angry with us? Look at the parable of the talents. Matthew chapter 25. This is a story, a lesson that Jesus told his disciples on the Mount of Olives. Chapter 25. In verses 14 through 30, and we'll not read all of that, but this is the parable of the talents. Verses 14 through 18. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on his journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Okay. Verse 16 and 17. The 5 and 2 talent man added and grew and accepted responsibility. Then look at verse 24. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. And look, there you can have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. And verse 30, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the one talent man buried and did not accept the responsibility that he had. So he was cast into outer darkness. But take notice in this story, there was no person in this story without a talent. So everybody's got something that they can do. Okay, and I found this little chart here that I kind of liked out of a lady's book that I had, where, and then I added this at the top, time has given the older woman experience to combine with her knowledge of him in order to bring wisdom to younger women. As she is no longer in charge of the physical care of children and is relieved of other physical duties, she can now serve by giving more time to the exercising of her mind and always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. And we see down here where when we're young, we have some knowledge, we have some responsibility, but you see the older we get, the more responsibility, the more knowledge we have, the more wisdom, the more experience, the more responsibility. And it keeps going and going. So we've got to have the knowledge by studying. We already have experience. No matter how long we've lived, we've got some experience. We can pray for wisdom. The Bible says so. And with that, we have more responsibility to get to train our young women, our children, and our young women so that they can help carry on the church along with their husbands, the men as well, so that the church can carry on in your community. Okay? All right. So, ladies, we must realize that this is important to our soul's salvation. When we have a command to teach the younger women, we must do it. Don't let us be caught on the day of judgment trying to answer for things that we didn't do. A few positive examples. One we talked about earlier, Lois and Eunice in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. Why do you think Lois and Eunice are even mentioned in the Bible? It's not very much, just a verse. Do you think, why were they even mentioned? I don't think it's there by accident. These two women, it was important for it to be recorded that they taught their son, their grandson, the gospel as they had learned it. And they passed on to him a love for the Lord and his word. We also see Priscilla in Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28. She helped teach Apollos. Tell me, do you think Priscilla usurped authority by teaching Apollos about the baptism of Jesus? If so, why didn't Paul stop her? He didn't. He even goes on to mention her in other passages in his writings, in Romans and 1 Corinthians and 2 Timothy. So ladies, there is even a way to teach a man or a young boy with a meek and quiet spirit. And sometimes members of our Lord's church want to put such limitations on women where the Lord has not given any. Now, you see this yellow right here on my notes? I am not at all promoting women preaching in the assemblies or Bible classes where Christian men, elders, deacons are in attendance. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying at all. But I do know, personally, a lot of women in the church who want to use passages such as 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 Timothy 2 to get out of their responsibilities. And that's about being silent in the churches and that. And they want to use those passages to get out of their responsibility. Yes, the Bible tells us to keep silent in the worship service and not to teach over a man. But everywhere else, we are given clear instructions to teach. Isaiah, in Isaiah 6:8, we need to be more like him when he readily says, "Here am I, send me." We need to be more like that. So then, who and what exactly are we to teach? Well, we know, most people can agree, we can teach children. And it's not a hard thing to do. Shirley was talking about earlier, it is really, really not a hard thing to do. If you can tell a story or recite nursery rhymes to your own children or your grandchildren or children that you babysit in your home or neighbor children, then you can tell a Bible story in class. It's just not that hard. But also, you have lots and lots of aids. There's just tons out there of books and even teacher's manuals to help show you what you can say and gives you activities to do with the little bitty children. We need to realize that, and we have this special opportunity that is handed to us at Bible classes on Sundays and Wednesday nights or vacation Bible schools, what have you. And we need to realize that these children are hopefully going to be the future of our congregations long after we're gone. So it is our responsibility to teach and show them, by example, how to continue on with their children and so on and so on. If we use the above excuses and just sit in an auditorium class year in and year out and never interact with any of these children, they will do the same someday. They'll come in and warm up you. You can teach our teenage girls in a Bible class. I'm doing that right now. We have a little group of teenage girls right now. If you were a teenager once, you know how difficult it is to be a teenager. Don't matter how old you are, you can remember what it was like to be a teenager. Don't be afraid to use your own experiences when you're teaching them because you seem human to them. You can connect with them that way. Let them know that you're human. Use the various workbooks available at appropriate bookstores. Or just do a study of the women of the Bible. It will go a long way in making friendship with them, and that in turn will build confidence that will help them in time of need. Be willing to teach the newlyweds and the young mothers. Now, sometimes this is difficult to do. And I want to, a side note here, I want to talk to the young women. If older women are commanded to teach good deeds, what command is implied then to the younger women?
Listen.
To listen and to learn. Exactly. Okay. See, as young women, you need to have a willing heart and a right attitude when receiving advice or teachings from an older woman in the church. After all, if she is the kind of woman she should be, this is a command that she has been given to teach you from her experiences, from her knowledge of the Word of God, so that you won't be inclined to make the same mistakes that she or others have made. So look at the example of Ruth. I've got in my notes. And we as women, as older women, need to be willing to teach, not to be busybodies and nosy in everybody's business, but to be available to teach and to be a confidant to the younger women, whether at Bible class at church or in your own homes, teaching them the God-given roles of a mother, a wife, and a mother. This is one thing that we do at Jamestown. We have a monthly ladies' class, and we've done it for several years. And this is one thing that we established at the very beginning. We wanted this to be a ladies' Bible class where we could come together as Christian sisters and be able to talk about things that are bothering us and that we need help on and that we need prayers for, but to also to keep each other's confidences. We don't need to go out and tell what everybody else is doing. That's being a busybody. We can help each other if we get together and we talk about problems that we're having and pray about it together. We can help each other out that way. And we can do that for the younger women, and they need to have a willing heart, and the right attitude and a willing heart to listen. So, in short, the job is very consuming. I mean, it's a job that we've been given. It does take some effort to do it. It's necessary to equip yourself to teach, to study. There are different ways you can do it. You can have home Bible study just on a small scale. You can teach the classes that you have in your own congregation. If you have neighbor children that are playing with your kids in the yard or whatever, call them up on the porch and just tell them a Bible story. I mean, there's lots of ways you can do it. Let's see. I had another slide here I wanted to go to. Okay. Our application to us today. This was taken from, it's kind of revived, from Paula Adams at East End in Lexington. She had had part of this on a PowerPoint that she did one time. The Lord does not expect more from us than we are capable of doing. God does expect us to develop and use the abilities that we have been given. Those who use their talents will meet with the Lord's approval and be rewarded. There will be a severe punishment handed down, the talent that will be taken away. We cannot fully realize our full potential if we do not try. And there is no such thing as a no-talent woman. So ladies, are we making excuses like Moses? What if they don't listen, like Moses said? Do we just stop? Granted, there's not everybody is equipped to get in front of ladies or even in a classroom and speak well or teach. But what about assisting? Everybody can do something. The Lord even sent Aaron to help Moses in his task of speaking to Pharaoh. Just for instance, we have a lady at Jamestown who feels like that she can't teach younger kids in the classroom. But she is constantly, and I mean this is like almost every service, she is constantly asking the teachers what she can do to help them in their classroom. She offers to cut out materials for them or sit with a child that may need one-on-one help. She offers words of encouragement to those who are teaching. She fills her time doing good works for others in the church. She is always busy. She is a bridge builder. At the very least, you can assist those who teach. And getting back to the medication thing, as we get older, sometimes we are on medications that make us more nervous or anxious. The time of life itself can affect us, how we get through a day and how we think sometimes. Just recognize this time as being temporary. Try to work through them. And at the very least, assist. Do what you can at the time. And then when things get better, jump in and use your talents. So ladies, are we using our talents wisely? Everyone has different talents. But if you hide a talent and you do nothing with it, you're going to be held accountable for it like the one talent man. We have to search our hearts and do what you know is pleasing to God. Do we accept this responsibility or not? If not, why not? Only each one of you can answer this and look inside your heart. So, ladies, as older women, are we being a bridge for the younger women? Do we have an openness for the younger women to feel comfortable enough to come to us for advice or learning? What are some examples of being a bridge to the younger ladies? Can you think of any? What could be some bridges for us to build in bringing younger ladies to us, to have opportunities to teach them? Anybody have any ideas?
Well, it may not be exactly what you're looking for, but I think sometimes, like in our personal situation, you know, remember when John decreased because the Lord was coming.
Right.
Sometimes as older women, we've been doing a certain job for such a long time. And we have to realize we would have to stand back to allow flower to blossom.
Right.
So it can spread its wings and fly. And I think sometimes that we have to, it might pinch a little bit, but
yes.
we have to do it to let the younger one shine.
Yes.
We can still be in the background.
Be available, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Trying to be there for their help.
Exactly.
Exactly. So we have to allow them to shine.
Yeah. But we can still be active in just being available. You know, not closing ourselves off. We don't want to have, guards up where people don't even feel like they can approach you. You know, we need to have an openness, and it starts with the little kids. I just had an example of a lady at Jamestown. I asked her if she would teach the first graders. Scared her to death, just to fill in now, just for one Sunday, because the lady had a funeral she had to go to, and I was teaching the teenage class. And she said, oh, I don't know if I can do it. I said, oh, yeah, they're first graders. They're doing, they're doing great. And I showed her the lesson and everything. Well, she told me just last night, she said, when you asked me to do that, I thought I was scared to death. And she said, I went in there, and they're smart. I said, yeah, they are. I said, I don't know why you're scared of them. And she said, I went in, introduced myself, and I told them they could call me Joe or Miss Joe. And they said, we'll just call you Miss Joe. And she said, okay. And they just spoke right up. And she was surprised that they're kids. They're friendly. And so now that she filled in that one time, she thought, I think I could teach that, But it's just, I think sometimes it's just the idea scares people, away from it. But it's really not all that bad. So let's be careful. Here's a few ideas of building bridges, having mixed ages of ladies over for lunch, not just sticking with people your own age. Have patience with women with young children. You remember what it was like. Include singles and widows in activities so that they can get to know one another. Make yourself available to all age women, not just those your own age. Invite others to visit you, to teach with you, to extend hospitality with you, to study with you, or to pray with you. Those are just a few ways that you can help build bridges between the children and the young women in your congregation. Okay.
That one, make yourself available to all age women, not just those of your own age.
Yes.
To me, that needs to be emphasized on every age level.
Yes.
Because I think we're all guilty of it.
We get in a little.
All the way to the oldest.
We get in little clicks. And that's what I was telling the lady last night, was talking about these kids. She said, I've said hi to them before when they're passing by, but they don't say anything to me. And I said, yeah, but now that they've had you in class, they know you better now. You gotta interact with them, and get so that you can get to know them. The same way with the teenagers at church. My kids are grown up and married now, and I taught them when they were teenagers. Well, I kind of gotten away from that because I was busy doing the little bitty class because nobody else wanted to do it. So I was down here doing little bitty class. And then I realized, hey, we've got teenage girls again, so I need to start teenage girls class again. So now we're just sitting talking and we're going through stuff, about dancing and marriage and boyfriends and all that. I'm telling them about how it was me and Scott was dating and how unusual it was for a girl in high school to be pregnant back then, and they see it all the time. They, it's good to interact with them and to talk to them about those kind of things. And I have really come to know them better than I had before. So, okay. So it is something. I really, really hope that if you don't teach, if you're afraid of teaching, at the very least, go in or offer to go in a classroom with somebody that's already teaching. Just go in and sit with them. You can assist them. That's what one lady did with me. She was a new Christian. She came to my class. She'd been in there for almost 2 years. The last quarter, we needed a teacher, and she said, "I'll do it." I said, "Great, great." And she's doing a wonderful job. But she sat in the class for a long time, you know, and that's fine. And so just do something. Don't just, you know, don't ignore the little kids. Don't ignore the teenagers. Speak to them if you don't already. And try to make a difference and be a bridge for them to help encourage them, keep them coming over the years. And then I want to end with this passage, James chapter 4, verse 17. "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." And it can't be any plainer than that. So, thank you, ladies. I hope that you didn't feel like I was fussing on you too bad, but but it is something that I've been very passionate about lately, and Kathy and I have talked about this over the years, and like I said, I've talked with other preachers' wives especially, and they talk about how it's just having so much trouble getting people to teach, and they're having to teach. I mean, before this teenage class, I had been in that little class for 5 years because nobody would take it. They were scared to death of them little children. I'd been in there for 5 years. And I loved it, but, you know, come on. There's a whole congregation full of women sitting out there. They could have given me a break. It's not that scary, really, it's not. So I hope that you will consider it. If you're not a teacher, that you'll please at least think about, you know, assisting and doing what you can to help in the church and in your personal life as well. Thank you.